This podcast is designed to entertain and inform, not provide medical advice. You should always consult your doctor when it comes to your personal health or before you start any treatment. Hi, I am Peggy van de Plage. Welcome to my podcast, The Microdose Diet. As a former banker and venture capitalist, I did very well. Well enough to now pursue a new passion, and that is psychedelics. While everyone looked at me as a hugely successful banker, they didn't know on the inside I was suffering. Anxiety, depression, and stress had totally overwhelmed me. I was essentially miserable. I had tried many forms of healing, but it was not until I was presented with a psychedelic option that my life changed. I microdosed a small amount every day, and it allowed me to remove that daily stress and anxiety, and I began to embrace life again. From this experience and in coaching others, I have created the Microdose Diet. And each week on my show, I will talk to a variety of experts from multiple fields, medical, scientific, psychedelic. I will also welcome high performers who are and were, as I used to be, on the emotional brink, in order to help them by using the formula that saved me. Welcome to my podcast, The Microdose Diet. Hi, I am Peggy van de Plage. I am the founder of The Microdose Diet. The Microdose Diet is a 90-day plan that's going to combine microdosing psilocybin with tapping, visualization, guided meditation, in order to give you access to more success and more happiness. So you can check out my website, The Microdose Diet, if you want to learn more about it. Today, I want to talk about healthcare, especially your health. I want to ask you why you should have more say regarding your health. Are you a law-abiding citizen who drinks a few glasses of alcohol a week, but is concerned about microdosing psychedelics? Are you a respectable taxpayer adult who encounters roadblocks in personal health management? So if the answer is yes, this is for you. And if you are not sure about the answer, well, continue listening and watching, because it will get your critical thinking going. So I'm super happy to be with you today to discuss a topic that is very, very dear to my heart. So from a health perspective, last week has been a very interesting week for me. As you can see, I got a very nasty eye infection, actually. And I also had to refill my birth control prescription and access antibiotics for a UTI. So it was a busy week. Let's start with the style that I have been sporting for the last 3 weeks, Spring Collection 2023. So after spending several days putting warm compresses, taking Advil, putting homeopathic drops, I went to my pharmacist and I tried to appeal to her compassion, actually, to get a stronger remedy because my eye was really turning red and very, very warm. Unfortunately, they couldn't help me. If I had a pink eye, they could have helped me, but they cannot help me for a sty. So, that's definitely the first arbitrary decision of an incomprehensible health system. Well, yes to a pink eye, but no to a sty. I don't know. So after several more days of pain, because it was very painful, I decided that I would go see a doctor to get an antibiotic eye ointment. So an antibiotic eye ointment is the best kept secret. If you have a sty, you will never have a pharmacist nor a doctor tell you about it. They really wait until it's very badly infected to recommend an antibiotic. So because I have been in Canada for 20 years, but I still have no freaking clue of the inner workings of a public health system, I have never been able to get a family doctor, and I abandoned that file after multiple attempts. My only understanding is if I want something done, I have to pay. So after a lot of complexity, which I will skip for the sake of brevity, I finally was able to chat online for 90 seconds with a doctor. And when I say chat, I mean text, because I sent a picture. I was on a chat for literally 90 seconds, and the doctor prescribed the eye-saving medication that I requested, let's be honest. After another 24 hours, I was finally able to put that goddamn cream in my eye. And as you can see, 1 week later, my sty is still there, but at least it's not a festering infection anymore. So this led me to really think about one of the two biggest pushbacks I get from people who are considering microdosing psychedelics. It's not accessible legally, meaning over the counter, or even actually through a prescription. The other pushback I get is, I'm not sure it's safe on the long run. So I want to address the first pushback right now, the fact that psilocybin for microdosing is not accessible, whether over the counter, directly at your pharmacy, or wherever you might want to buy it, or through a prescription. So the very interesting thing regarding my thankfully infrequent brush with the medical system is, first, the arbitrary way of who delivers what, where, and how. And the second is, what qualifies as legally accessible, meaning over the counter without having to pay a doctor or to pay a pharmacist for a script. So you will tell me that it is important for doctors to oversee the administration of drugs, which I will answer that texting for 90 seconds with an MD doesn't really qualify to me as oversight. Nor does the 10-minute annual visit that costs me an arm and a leg in the private sector, when the all-powerful doctor barely listened to my concern and is lukewarm at the idea of a physical examination. And I understand I'm not 20 years old anymore, so maybe there is less appeal to do a physical examination. On the other end, you might tell me that the powers that be in the healthcare pyramid know better than me what drugs should be over the counter and which one should be prescribed. And this is when my unfortunate brushes with the medical system led me to believe that no, the categorization is absolutely not thoughtful and certainly not in the best interest of the citizens. If you take UTI as an example, so it's urinary tract infection, it was the number one reason hospitals were clogged in Canada. Everyone was going to the hospitals because no one is capable of getting a family doctor. So you have urinary tract infection, which is pretty basic. The pharmacist couldn't prescribe antibiotics. You don't have a family doctor. What do? You go to the hospitals. Obviously, the hospitals were pretty clogged up. So suddenly, in maybe 6 months ago now, we are able now to access antibiotics to heal UTI at the pharmacy. Amazing, very happy about that. I had to go this weekend, so I'm very, very thankful for that. But it doesn't prevent me to wonder why the sudden change. If it has been so dangerous all along to give access to patients to the precious medication at the pharmacy, why isn't it dangerous anymore? And if we push one step further, what would make it so dangerous to offer them over the counter? If these medications were so harmful to patients, I would think that they would have to be administrated under medical supervision, no? So keep that in mind, you know, like that doesn't really make any sense to me. Our blind trust in the medical system is very interesting. And I was, for the longest time, the most obedient person you could find. I was extremely respectful of rules, and I was very fearful of authority. Keep in mind that I studied at Catholic institutions for 20 years. So, you know, you get some baggage from that. So if my doctor would have told me to jump by the window, I would have, literally. Now, not so much. And not just because I was misdiagnosed with a brain tumor when I was 15, resulting in many very unpleasant trips to the hospital to be cared for by the most uncompassionate staff. Now it is because my mother almost developed a liver cancer due to the wrong administration of iron while she had an aggravating condition, which could have been detected by a very easy test, both of that obviously under the purview of doctors. And that was just to name two of the many incidents. Now, I am questioning the medical system and globally, not just in Canada. Due to my better understanding of the incredible lobbying and money power at play in the industry. And you know that following the money and the power is always the best way to understand why decisions are made and why situations unfold as they do. Why would a drug be accessible over the counter in France but has to be prescribed by a doctor in Canada and vice versa? Why would the same medicine be awfully expensive in the United States but not in the rest of the world? So, my dear listener, I might not have convinced you to start microdosing psilocybin, but at least I hope that this will make you think twice about the legitimacy of what medicine is available over the counter, via prescription, or not available at all. Second point, I was telling you the biggest pushback I get from people is we don't know if microdosing psilocybin is safe on the long term. There is one thing that we know for sure that is not safe in the long run. Alcohol, cigarettes, sugary food, fatty food, and I would argue gambling. But they are all legal and widely accessible, assuming you look older than a teen, obviously. They are also widely socially acceptable and actually pretty cool when it comes to alcohol. So everyone knows that from a health perspective, drinking alcohol, smoking, mindless eating will bring a long list of health challenges. Depression, anxiety, diabetes, cancer. Nonetheless, we are pretty much all doing it to some degree or another. Oh yes, but it is legal. But should it be? If you believe it should be because you are a responsible adult in charge of your choices, I am with you on this one. Why would access to psilocybin be any different? Well, it actually has proven benefits and no proven harm so far. If you believe that psilocybin is bad, again, despite the proven benefits and no proven harm, then to be consistent, shouldn't alcohol, cigarettes, fatty and sugary food be illegal too? So that is an interesting conundrum. How is it? Once again, following the money and the power will give you all the answers you need to justify the situation. As you can imagine, no government will ever go in the direction of rolling out unhealthy products such as alcohol and cigarettes. Not only there is way too much money and power at play, but you can be sure that there will be more people on the streets than in France when reforming pensions, or to defend democracy for that matter. If this conundrum is getting your critical thinking going, have a look at the side effects of Prozac, aka fluoxetine, the most popular antidepressant, and ask yourself if it feels safe, even with a doctor prescription. I have to say they really got me at decreased sex drive, nervousness, anxiety, difficulty sleeping, and uncontrollable shaking. Who would not want to treat depression for anxiety and impotence, I'm wondering? If you continue on that trail of thought, the entire world, or almost, got vaccinated multiple times over the past 3 years. And we obviously have no freaking clue about the long-term effects. So if your biggest fear regarding microdosing psilocybin is, will it be harmful in the long run, despite all the scientific evidence gathered so far, ask yourself if this is where your attention should go, towards an unsubstantiated maybe versus a certain yes when it comes to alcohol, cigarette, food, Prozac, and potentially COVID vaccine. Our trust and fear of authority figures blinding us. And when I say "our," I mean Gen X. It seems to me that younger generations are way more apt at questioning the legitimacy of the status quo. We all know very well that decisions are made for money and power, not for the well-being of citizens. However, we still think and act as if we were living under the rules of servant leaders, while we are not even governed by paternalistic leaders. I am a responsible adult, and in view of the systemic and systematic inconsistencies of the healthcare system, due to the special interests ruling the industry and thus preventing the best decisions to be made for the citizens, I don't see why I would have to subjugate myself to any rules preventing me to make the best decisions for my own health, meaning microdosing psilocybin. I mean, you can call it civil disobedience. And others have crossed the Rubicon from passive to active resistance. On July 27 of 2022, patients suffering from cancer, depression, cluster headache, and other serious health concerns sued the Canadian federal government. In the lawsuit, they're asserting a constitutional right to medicinal magic mushroom. The question now is why the Canadian government is spending our millions of taxpayer money in fighting this case. So I'm Peggy Van De Plasch. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. I hope it's going to make you think about why you're not microdosing psilocybin. And I encourage you to go to my website, The Microdose Diet, to learn more about the topic. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to The Microdose Diet. If you enjoyed this week's episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. For other helpful resources, you can visit my website, themicrodosediet.com.